1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 8. First John 2:8. And the Bible says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." Now, in verses 8 through 11, if you just look at those verses, I want you to notice how many times John points out to us the word darkness. Okay, again, look at it. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Notice this darkness that he's talking about. Now he begins this discourse here in verse 8. He says, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines." He's talking to the believers. He's saying that the Christian people, the darkness is past, that you're not in darkness anymore. As someone that's been born again and saved, you're not living in darkness. You're not walking in darkness. Your life isn't characterized by deeds of darkness. Those days of darkness are behind you. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Ephesians 5:11 says, "Ye have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son." You notice darkness has power over you, but we've been delivered from that power. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, "But ye therefore, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Verse 5, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of darkness nor of night." Now in verse 9 it says this, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Now you notice there's that contrast. "He that saith he's in the light, but hateth his brothers in darkness." Now, he says one thing, he says he's in the light, but you're going to notice his deeds show something different. You can't always go by what people say. People will tell you one thing, but they'll do something else, won't they? They'll say they're one thing, they'll claim to be one thing, but it's not true. Now in 1 John, in the same chapter, the end of the chapter, verse 29, I love what verse 29 says. "If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Those that are saved, they're going to do what's righteous. They're going to live righteously. They're going to do the righteous things. It's as simple as that. It's not what they say, it's what they do. Okay, it's what they do. It's as simple as that. Over in James, Brother Paul was talking about that. And I know because I'm looking for it, I won't find it right off the bat here, but it talks about, we talked about this morning, but "be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." That's verse 22. But the Bible tells us, "faith without works is dead." Now, where is that verse at? I know it's in James here. I thought we covered it last week. See, if I'm not up here, I could find it just like that. But when I get up here, it's going to hide from me. And I'll not find it. So, but anyways, there's that. It's not what you say. You can say anything, but your life is an example. Now, in Matthew 7:15, Jesus said this. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, they look like one thing, and they may say one thing. They look like sheep. They come in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They may even sound like sheep. But what are they inside? They're wolves. They're not sheep. They look like sheep. They may even sound like sheep. But Jesus said inside, they're not sheep. They're wolves. And he said this. This is how you tell them apart. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." See, it's not just what they say. Forget what they say. It's what they do. Their life is what they are. They're showing you exactly what they are, but what they do. And so they say they're in the light. They say they're in the light, but their life doesn't show that. "He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother..." He says he's in the light, but he hates his brother. So what does that mean? He says he's in the light. He says he's a Christian. Says he loves Jesus, but he hates his brother. What does that mean? So he's a liar. Bible says, John said it, he's in darkness. Even until now. Even till this moment, he's been in darkness. He's not been saved. He's not right with God. He's in darkness. You can't be one of God's people and hate your brother. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Something's bad, wrong. His heart's dark. He's not been born again. It's impossible to do. You cannot be in the light. You can't walk in the light. You can't be one of God's and hate your brother. And this isn't what I think. It's not my theory. This is what the Bible says. You can't argue with it. It's as clear as day. You can argue with it all day. If you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're not in the light. You are in darkness. That's what John says. You are clearly in the darkness. Listen to the words of our Savior. This is what Jesus said in John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, this is John 3:19. "This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Because he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." John 8:12. Says this, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now what did Jesus say? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Can you follow Jesus and walk in darkness? Is that possible? It is impossible, because Jesus says if you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:44 says this, "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So again, men love darkness more than they do the light. And you'll notice again that you can't follow Jesus and walk in darkness. But when we go back to John 12:44, in verse 40, Jesus said this: "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Notice the unity that Jesus has with the Father. There is such unity with the Father. They're the same. In John 10:30, Jesus said this: "I and my Father are one." John 14:9, when Jesus was talking to Philip, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth thy works." So you notice, Jesus is saying, he's telling us he's the light. If you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness. And he's also showing us how he's in unity with the Father. I and my Father are one. Now, when we go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John tells us this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So again, you see, God is light, and there's no darkness in him. And John is telling us, if you say you have fellowship with God, you're claiming to be a Christian, you say that you walk with God and you know God, and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you walk in darkness, you walk in sin and wickedness, what's the Bible say? You lie, you do not the truth. You don't have fellowship with God. You can't, because you can't walk in darkness and walk with the Father. You can't do it. So here's the sign that John's given us. Here's a sign of our salvation. Back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him." So here's the commandment that's been given to us, is that we're commanded to love our brothers and our sisters in Christ. There's that commandment given to us that we are to love one another. That all of us as Christians, we have this duty and responsibility and really a blessing that we love each other. We love one another, that we are family, we are one body, and that as we come together and we fellowship, that God puts this in us, that we love one another, and it's a deep love, and God helps us with this. In fact, Jesus said this in John 13:34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And then he said this: "As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." It's interesting to me that Jesus said, they're not going to know you're my disciples by what you say or how you act. They're going to know you're my disciples by the way you love each other. Ain't amazing? By the way y'all love each other is how people know you're my disciples. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." You know, when God's people love each other like they should, there ain't no group in this world ought to love each other like God's people love each other. There ain't no body of people anywhere in this world ought to love each other like God's people should love each other. That's how it ought to be. John 15:12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Again, it's prefaced with, "as I have loved you." Now, that's a lot of love. That is a lot of love. John 15:17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." Again, we see this given to us again. We got to love one another. And I'm reminding everybody that love is not a magical feeling that comes down from the sky with rainbows and unicorns. It's not like that. Love is always a choice. It's a decision that we consciously make to love somebody. Because honestly, some people are easier to love than others. And some of y'all may have a really hard time loving me. That's how it is. But we choose to love people. We have to decide that we're going to love folks. And that's what Jesus is saying. You have to decide that you're going to love people. Because some people are easier to love than others. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Do you know who teaches us to love one another? Who helps us learn this? Did you hear that? God does. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. God Himself teaches us and helps us to learn how to love one another, even when it's not easy. You know, what about when people are mean to you and mistreat you? Do you still love them then? What about when people aren't nice to you and they wrong you, even in the church? They take advantage of you. They talk bad about you. Do you still love them then? Yeah, you should. It's not as easy then, is it? But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love our brothers. 1 Peter 1:22 says this, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit with unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now you notice what Peter said here. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That unfeigned love is talking about pure love, true love. Not a false love, not a pretend love, not a love where you try to see what you can get out of somebody. It is a genuine love, an unfeigned love of the brethren. See ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's a true love, not a pretend love, not a fake love, not a phony love, but a pure love. Fervently, that's a heated love. That is a genuine love that God can tell. He can see it. And you know, when you truly love people in the church, when you love people like you should, it makes us have mercy on one another. It really does. Listen to what 1 Peter 4:6 says. And I found this to be very interesting. I found this to be very, very interesting. And I'll tell you why. Because here Peter is giving a summary to the church. And he's warning them about the end times. He's warning them about getting ready for the Lord's return. And listen to what he says. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things, now listen to this, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And interesting, Peter said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Have a heated love one for another. Have a genuine love in the church. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Then it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, we're supposed to have this a lot of love. And that way when we make little mistakes and we mess up, we're quick to forgive. Because charity covers a multitude of sins. When people mess up and make mistakes in the church and they do us wrong, have a bad day and they snap at us, you know what we do when we love people? We just let it go. We don't make a big deal about it. We forget about it. And notice, use hospitality to one another without grudging. That means we're kind to one another and we help each other out. And if they forget to say thank you, we don't take it personally. They didn't even say thank you after I did all that for them. You know, sometimes we get like that. They didn't even say thank you. I wonder how many times I haven't said thank you to God. I wonder how many times God has done something for me and I didn't say thank you. There is no telling. I'm glad God is hospitable to me without grudging. Because I'd be in big trouble if He was. Because I know none of us say thank you enough to the Lord, do we? If we were here all day saying thank you, it wouldn't be enough for all that the Lord's done for us. Romans 13:7 says this, owe no man anything but love one another, For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, when it says, owe no man anything, now I know you shouldn't have a big debt, but it's not talking about that. Owe no man anything, but love one another. Do you see what it's talking about here? We do owe something to each other. And what is it? Love. We owe it to each other. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's Romans 13:8. We have a debt to each other, and that's love. We owe it to each other. And the Bible says, don't owe that to anybody. Don't owe love to anybody. Love everybody in the church. Love your brothers and sisters. Don't be lacking in that area. Don't lack in that in a big way. There's something I meant to add. You know in the Bible where it talks about we're all part of one body? You know where it talks about that in Corinthians? I think it's in Corinthians 12. Talks about how we're all part of one body. You know, some parts of the body get more attention than the others. But you know, when you really love everybody, when one member's hurt, the whole church suffers, don't they? When you really love like you should. You ever really stumped your big toe really good? Or your little toe? You ever stumped your toe really good? I mean, really, really good? You're going somewhere. You've got your mind. I've got to go somewhere. And you stump your toe on the corner of the kitchen table or on a chair. It doesn't matter what your plans were. What happens? You stop, right? And you cry for a minute. And you grab your foot. Am I telling the truth? Am I lying? Is that what happens? Y'all do that too? Right? And you sit down and you want to blame somebody. Why is the kitchen table here in the middle of the table? Why is it in the floor here? Why is the kitchen table in the kitchen? Who put the kitchen table here? You know, we want to blame somebody, but that's how I am at least. But, you know, we stump our toe, and that little toe, how can that little thing hurt so badly? But, you know what's interesting? That's how the body of Christ is. Even our least members, the least members of the church, when they're hurt, that's how the whole body should be. When we love each other like we should, when the smallest members hurt, the whole body stops and the whole body hurts. You know how the hands come down and they hold that toe? That's a good picture of how the body should be because it loves. We love ourselves. We love our church. We love each other. 1 John 3:11 says this, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You'll notice in that text, it's talking about, how it shows us, how do you love somebody that we're willing to lay down our lives for the brothers? If they have a need, if there's something in their life, if they're down, whatever it takes to help them, that's what we're to do. That's what love is. Now I want to close by looking at this very last passage here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Notice what this says. "Now God himself, and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Now you notice, if you notice 1 Thessalonians 3:12, notice what the Lord's doing here. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. You see, as we grow as Christians, we should be loving more and more and more, not less. We shouldn't be getting cranky and meaner, but we should be getting more tender and more loving. As God's Spirit is working in our hearts, that's how we ought to be, to become more loving and more loving. And that's what God's called us to do. Let's all stand together.